David last weekend. How many enjoyed David DeMarco last weekend? What a great time. And I just want to encourage you all. David just loves coming to our church. And not just because him and I are friends, but he loves coming here. He loves preaching and teaching and spending time with you all. So thank you for helping build the culture that David and other ministers feel so welcome here. Amen. But I want to take a few weeks here, church, and talk about the Holy Spirit. And what I think from what I see in Scripture, I think is the most, if it's not the most important role of the Holy Spirit, it is right up there as top two or three. And we'll dig and we'll dance around this for a few weeks and talk about a lot of things. But I want to really talk about the Holy Spirit. I want to call this little series here, No Longer Orphans. No Longer Orphans. Everybody say that with me. No Longer Orphans. No Longer Orphans. Some of you, I don't think some of you are even here. I taught on the Holy Spirit directly a long time ago, probably 10 years or plus far ago. But I want to lay some groundwork this morning and talk about the Trinity. The Trinity. All right? So what I discovered this, the Trinity, the phrase Trinity is not actually in the Scriptures anywhere. Anybody know that? Not in the Bible anywhere. They started using it around 2 A.D. There was a theologian around 2 A.D., so 2 years after Jesus was on the earth, right? They started using this term, Trinity, talking about Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? And I think it's important that we need to kind of wrap our head around this one first before we talk about the Holy Spirit. So when I was young in the Lord, I used to think about it kind of like a pie. I'd see a pie and cut it in thirds. Anybody ever think that way? That's horrible theology. Because you take a third of the pie, there's only two-thirds left, right? And we can't think of God that way. I used to think stuff like this. I'd see God blessing somebody, and in my mind, I'd think, man, he's got less blessing to give me because he gave some to Keith. The Lord's like, look, I don't have blessings. I am a blessing. I don't have power. I am power, right? I am Mark. If I give you some Mark, I don't have less Mark to give because I am Mark, right? If I give you some money, that means I got less money to give somebody else because I'm not money. I have money. And the Lord will give me more to give away. But you see what I'm saying? God doesn't give away resources. He gives away himself. And he can't have less of himself as he gives himself away. Amen. So what we have to kind of think about is the Father, Son, Holy Spirit exist, my beloved, in perfect, flawless unity. They live in agreement all the time. They never disagree with one another. Amen. I've seen folks over the years be like, well, the Holy Spirit told me to do this. And the problem is that what the Holy Spirit told them to do directly violates the Word of God, which the Holy Spirit will never, I mean, say never. Never violate the Word of God. Ever. I don't care how many goose pimples you got. I don't care how much you cried about it. I don't care if some prophet said something to you. If it violates the Scriptures, it is not from God. Amen. I think what we need to kind of think about I tell you this, in my estimation, it's not good to try to visualize this like something that's on the earth. Because you know what? God actually tells us that. Do not make some type of image for yourself, because our brains can't think of something that was like, oh, that's what God's like. Can I get amen? What we'll get is these revelations of who he is and his likeness and his character. And it's We see this in the Old Testament, Jehovah Jireh, the first Jehovah revelation that Abraham has. And what you see is all these Jehovah, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Rapha, and they call this the progressive revelation of Christ. It's building who God is all through the Old Testament. Finally, with Jehovah, the Jehovah is my salvation. I forget what that Hebrew word is, but it's Jehovah, my salvation, my Savior, right? Does that make sense? But what I want to think about this morning, church, is the roles of the Trinity. Because if you read Scripture, you see clearly that the Father has a role, the Son has a role, the Holy Spirit has a role in creation and redemption. Is that all right? So number one, the Father. The Father's job, if you will, was creation. You read Genesis 1, you read John chapter 1, and we see the creation account. And we, if you know the story at all, and the scriptures at all, we know that the Bible says that the Holy Spirit was brooding over the surface of the earth, right? The earth was dark and without form and void. The Holy Spirit was brooding over it. But it was the Father's voice that boomed out of heaven, "Let there be light," right? Some people I talk to, "Oh, what do you think about the Big Bang Theory?" I don't know. When God spoke off of the top of Mount Sinai, it sounded like thunder so loud everybody was nutting, their knees are knocking. And he wasn't creating anything from the top of Mount Sinai. So if he spoke loud enough to create everything from nothing, probably sounded like a Big Bang. Can I get amen? I'm not too messed up with the Big Bang Theory. The only problem is that they said that there was stuff that already existed and it just decided to come together all by itself. No, there was nothing, and then there was everything because God said so. Amen. He created everything that is seen out of that which is not seen. Yeah? Probably was a Big Bang, though. Amen? But the Bible clearly tells us in the book of Genesis, my beloved, that God took 6 days to create the earth. And like we had a discussion with a new friend the other day, and they were like, "Well, do you really think it's six 24-hour periods?" And I said, "That's absolutely what I think. 100% what I think." And they're like, "Well, gosh, why do you think that?" I said, "Because it's what it says. There was evening and there was morning, and it was a day." We did a study here many, many years ago from Ken Ham. If you guys, anybody know Ken Ham, Creation Museum, built the Ark down in Kentucky. You should check it out if you see it online. He's an apologist, travels around to universities and will debate with atheists and various things. Very smart guy, but we did a study from him some time ago, and we went through the creation, and we went several lessons in, and at one point, he starts explaining the different concepts of creation. So there's one that's called the gap theory. Anybody ever heard of the gap theory? The gap theory says that between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, that there's millions and millions and millions and millions of years, billions of years. And they say that that's where the dinosaurs were and all this weird stuff. Can't find that in the Bible anywhere. There's actually evidence, my beloved, of fossils. This is true. There are fossils that people have found that are laid across layers of rock underground. Right, so if it took billions of years for that fossil to get there, how does it go across layers of rock? Did it just lay there and say, "Okay, I'm going to die and just lay here and not move for 26 billion years while rock settles around me?" Or Ken Ham goes on to explain that a volcano, when I think it was Mount St. Helens blew, when the lava came down the side of the mountain, it was so destructive, it actually laid in like days, it laid layers of rock that look exactly the same as what they say takes billions of years to form. And there was fossils found of animals that were vaporized instantly and made into fossils. Boom, in a moment, from the incredible heat of the lava. He says, if you want to open your mind, science will actually prove that God is true. Not disprove him. Amen? So we think about this, Bible says what? 6 days God created the earth, and on the seventh day he what? He rested, right? He rested. So if we fast forward about 4,000 years, my beloved, Galatians 4, chapter 4, verse 4 says this, "But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of woman born under the law so that he might do what? Redeem those who are under the law. That what? That we might receive the adoption as sons. So think about this. I'm being very general here, but I think this is a solid way to kind of wrap our head around this. The son's job, who, by the way, also is called in scriptures the word that became flesh, the Messiah, the Savior, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the healer, the anointed one, and so on. His job, if we can handle that word, is or was redemption. Redemption. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. Right? He didn't send himself. God did not climb off of his throne. He's still seated on his throne. He's still at rest. The Father is resting. Can I get amen? Amen. Right? So some churches will talk about, they're called Jesus-only churches. Anybody here ever hear that? There's several denominations. They're Jesus-only. And what that means is that they think that the name of God is Jesus. They think the name of the Holy Spirit is Jesus. And you're like, I don't know how we read the same book and you come to that conclusion. Because the Father didn't send himself. It clearly says he sent his son. Two distinct beings that are also one. Amen. Is that all right? The word to redeem, think about this, church. In the Greek, it means to buy up or to ransom, as in to pay someone's ransom for them. I think the easiest way for us to wrap our head around is if someone gets kidnapped and the kidnapper leaves a ransom note, right? You need to give me this amount of money and then you can have your this person back or whatever it is, right? And that's it. But I think we need to understand something. I was thinking about this. We know the Bible talks about Peter. The Apostle Peter says that the devil comes only to what? Steal, kill, and destroy, right? And so, but we need to understand something. The devil did not steal mankind from God. He did not. He deceived mankind. But mankind made a willful decision to make an agreement with the kingdom of darkness. And a legal contract was signed. A ransom note was written by the devil to God. If you want this back, there's a price that has to be paid. Amen. Amen. Yeah? Because if the devil stole God's creation, then God could have just taken it back. But Adam being the crown of God's creation and commissioned to take authority over the earth by agreeing with Satan in the garden, he gave his authority over to Satan. Does that make sense, everybody? Look at this in Revelation 5. This is so powerful. I stumbled across this several months ago. I've shared it a few times during worship. It's just so powerful to me. But Revelation 5, still talking about the sun here. Look what this says. This is the Apostle John. He says, I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Who's sitting on the throne right here, church? The Father, right? Specifically, it's the Father. I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book. It's weird. New American Standard says book. This is a scroll. Pretty much every other translation will say a scroll here, all right? I saw in the hand, him who sat on a throne, a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to break its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look into it. Then I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. One of the others said to me, stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah. The root of, here's more names of Jesus, everybody. The lion of the tribe of Judah. There's a name. The root of David, another name of Jesus, right? Has overcome so as to open the scroll and its seven seals. And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Here's what I stumbled across several months ago. Why is the scroll written on both sides? Anybody remember me sharing about this? This is so good, man. So back in those days, they would, if there was a deed written for a piece of property, we still do that today, right? You get a deed for your car, you get a deed for your house. They would write it on this scroll. But if the person that made the agreement defaulted on the agreement, they would flip the scroll over and write a new agreement on the other side of it. And it was like pretty much like a house going to foreclosure, right? And the only way that the contract was satisfied is someone had to satisfy the new agreement that's written on the backside of the scroll. So this is the Father. He's got the scroll in his hand. He's sitting on the throne. The scroll's in his hand. It's written on the inside, the original agreement that God made through Adam with creation. But then because Adam and Eve fell and agreed with the devil, there was a new agreement written on the back of it. And that's what had to be satisfied so that God could receive back the creation that he made. And John is weeping because it says that he looked in the heavens and on the earth and under the earth, and there was no one worthy. Man, I feel the Spirit of God right now. No one worthy. No one could pay the debt. But the angel says, oh, behold, there's one. That's so funny, isn't it? He says, the angel says, it's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But when John looked for a lion, he saw a lamb. Whew. Man, is that so good. The lamb paid the price. Yes. Isn't that so good, church? Yes. Think about when Jesus was on the earth, you know, and they start realizing, like, man, maybe this is him. And they're like, yeah, take the Romans out. He says, you don't understand. I'm not here to deal with the Romans. I think we need to be careful, church. We're getting pressured a lot to get involved in social justice issues. Jesus did not come for social justice. Jesus came for the kingdom. And in the kingdom is social justice. Can I get amen? Amen. But we can get sucked into the realms of men and spin our wheels on social justice and get nowhere. Look at our government. If they wanted to fix all the stuff that they tell us they keep wanting to fix, it'd have been fixed. Yeah. Can I get amen? If the government really wanted there to be no people starving in America, they would have fixed that by now. There's plenty of money and plenty of food. If they wanted to fix homelessness, it would have been fixed by now. Can I get amen? They tell us they want to fix it, so we keep giving them money and voting for them. All of them, y'all, both sides of the aisle, and all the ones that stand in the middle too. And then they take the money, get rich off of it, and keep the problems going so they got something to talk about. Can I get amen? In the kingdom is the only place that everyone gets on an even plane. Yeah? So good. Verse 7 of Revelation 5. He came and took the book, the scroll, out of the right hand. Look at, I want you to see the persons here. Who's he? He came. Who's that? The Lamb, right? John looks between the elders and the throne, which is the Father. It's between where the elders are and the throne, and he sees the Lamb. So now the Lamb is approaching the throne of God. And he takes the scroll out of the right hand of him. Who's him right there? The Father, right? Isn't this crazy? They're one, and yet they're two. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. Worthy are you to take the book and break its seals, for you were slain. That's the price. When we sing that song, Worthy, right?
Worthy is the Lord. Worthy are you, Lord.
That's what we should be thinking about. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Yeah?
Yes.
You were slain, and look at what it says here. We talked about Galatians, about him redeeming us, right? You were slain and, what church?
Purchased
for God. With your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Amen. Everybody tracking okay with this? So go back to Galatians 4. And as I said, as I started, I've been pondering this for a few weeks, and I want to make a general statement here. I'm not saying this is everybody. I'm not saying that this is all-inclusive, but I think it's a pretty encompassing statement. We have available to us today so much teaching. Right? It's whether it's, you know, the church, we pay for a Right Now Media membership. If you're not logged into Right Now Media, we pay for that. There is hundreds of hours of teaching on anything you want on that website. Hundreds of videos. You could look up just about anything you want and watch it for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. Can I get amen? You want to go on YouTube? You can look up any preacher you want on YouTube now, and you can find any topic that you want and just hit play and tell it to keep playing, and it will play for days and days and days, and you'll never watch the same teaching twice. But if you remember what I finished up with on Father's Day, I finished up with Paul's statement to the church in Corinth, I believe. He said, you have many teachers, but not many fathers. Not many fathers. And this week, as I was grinding on this, it's like the Holy Spirit said this to me, that we have plenty of information. That's not the problem. But we seem to be in many ways in the church in America lacking in revelation, transformation, and relationship. Revelation, transformation, and relationship. Can you guess whose job it is to give us revelation, transformation, and relationship? If you look in 1 Timothy chapter 3, I think it's 1 Timothy chapter 3, but that's where Paul gives this list of all these things that are going to be going on in the church. And at the end of that, it's verse 5, I think it is, Paul tells Timothy, he says, there will be, these people will cleave or cling to a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. Now, for years and years and years, my beloved, I would, again, take that verse out of context, which is most what we do, you know, and what we think is a form of godliness with no power. What we think, we typically, oh, that's a dead church, pastor. That's that dead church up the street. That church that you just sing all those old songs and they ain't got nothing, no Holy Ghost, and they ain't got, there's no healing over there. This is what we think about. We think about a dead church, right? Problem is, you put that in context, that is not at all what Paul's talking about. You go read that list, there's not a single thing in that list that Paul describes what will be going on in the church as what we would consider to be acts of power. The entire list, my beloved, is character. People will be lovers of pleasure, lovers of money, hateful, boastful, arrogant, proud, manipulative, irreconcilable, unforgiving, disobedient to parents.
That's our culture today.
Yikes. That's the list. I didn't even hit them all. I can't. There's like 20 things that Paul, it's like 2.5 verses long. And then he says, and they will cling to a form of godliness, but deny the power. Deny the power to do what? To stop doing all that stupid junk. Do you see what Paul's saying here, church? When God started working this in my heart years and years and years ago, I started looking and saying, oh my gosh, do you realize, Paul, you know what Paul's saying? In order for children to behave properly in the home and respect their parents and relate to their parents properly, they need the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We don't think that, do we? Come on, let's just be real, y'all. Our kids get crazy. You're like, that's it. No more iPad for a week. No more, you know. And we just think we're just going to discipline this foolishness out of our kids. Do we need to discipline our kids? Absolutely. But you know what? If all we do is discipline our kids without inviting the Holy Ghost in and saying, please change the heart of my child, it will not work. That's right. That's right. Amen. You can unforgiving, Paul lists in that section. Unforgiving. Do you know, church, you cannot forgive somebody without the power of the Holy Ghost. You cannot. Oh, Pastor, I can. No, you can't. No, you can't. Not the way God wants you to. Does it mean we can't have pleasure? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Paul tells the same young pastor, you know, hey, God's given you all things for your enjoyment. 1 Timothy chapter 6, I think it's verse 18. God has given us all things for our enjoyment. He says, look, if you happen to live in a country like America, praise God that we do. He says, God, you've got some nice stuff. He says, enjoy it. Praise God. Just don't put it in the wrong position. Is this all right? What we're lacking today in the church, my beloved, so rampantly is revelation, transformation, relationship. When the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem. Right? Redeem. That's Jesus. Without the redemptive work of the son, we're dead in the water. Is that right? Some churches will teach us that, oh, you know, it's all about a relationship with Jesus, personal relationship with Jesus, brother. That's not in the Bible. Not in the Bible. Jesus himself said, I am here to restore a relationship with the Father. In that day, you will ask me nothing, Jesus says, but you will ask the Father whatever you want in my name, and he will give it to you. Can we pray to Jesus? Obviously, I think that's probably okay. But Jesus says, pray to the Father. How do we pray? Our Father who art in heaven. Yeah? Is that all right? But look at what he says. So that he might redeem those who are under the law, that, everybody say that, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit. Look at this, church. Oh, boy. Capital S. Spirit of his Son. Another name of the Holy Spirit. Spirit of the Son. Into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, everybody say, therefore. You are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Let's unpack this a little bit in closing. Be done by 12, definitely. There's like four, I want to show you four things in these couple verses here. Number one. I said this on I think on Resurrection Sunday, I made this very similar statement, talking about Peter's revelation of Jesus, right? Peter has this revelation, you are the Son, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, right? You are the one, right? And what does Jesus say? Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Five verses later, he's being called Satan, right? Literally 3 minutes later, Jesus is like, man, you're the man. Now you're a disaster again in roughly 3 minutes. Yeah? So it's like, if you guys remember this statement I made on Resurrection Sunday, we can have a legitimate revelation of who Jesus is and still have no idea how he operates. Yeah? We see something very similar here. We can be legitimately saved and on our way to heaven, right? You step off the curb and get hit by a bus, you're going the right direction. And yet, have no concept of adoption. Zero. Let me explain. If some of you remember when I taught on adoption, it was a long time ago. Anybody remember that? Let's touch on it here for a moment. This is straight from the Lord, man. The Lord just downloaded this stuff to me. Orphans. So let me back up. John, on Wednesday night of prayer, the Lord started really digging. He dropped one on me on Wednesday night. And Jesus, when he's talking to his disciples in John 14, telling them about he's going to go, right? I need to go so I can send you another, right? The Lord spoke to me on Wednesday night. He said, I won't leave you, forsake you. Heard that. Boom. I was like, okay, I know that. But as I said that for a moment, immediately, it was like 10 seconds later, he said to me, I won't leave you as orphans. And I was like, whoa. I looked that up. It's John 14. Jesus is talking to his disciples, which is us. I won't leave you as orphans. But I, everybody say I. I will, this is Jesus speaking. I will come to you. He's not talking about the second coming, church. He's talking about the Holy Ghost who's going to come. That's why he's leaving. If I don't go, he can't come. Right? Again, showing us a clear distinction of two persons. If they're the same thing, why can't he just be like, hey, wait a second. I'm back. Right? But he says what? I love this other thing that he says about the Holy Ghost, Jesus. He says, there's many things I want to tell you, but you can't understand them. But when he comes, capital H, the Spirit of Truth, he will remind you of everything I've said and tell you what's going to come. Jesus is like, look, y'all didn't get what I already told you because you can't, because you don't have the Holy Ghost. You cannot get it, right? So it says, I can't, there's no point in me telling you what's going to happen because you really won't get that. I told you what you need to know so that you go wait in that room. Is that right, church? I gave you just enough, so you're going to go wait until you get power. And then you'll be empowered to go and fulfill the gospel. Is that all right? So think about this, adoption. What state of life do we have to be in order for adoption to fix what's wrong with us? You got to be a what? An orphan, right? Here's what orphans think. Here's how they operate, church, all right? An orphan has no one to take care of them. Orphans grow up, there's nobody, they know there's no Christmas presents, there's no birthday presents, there's no like, hey, let's go to the store, let's go shopping, let's go get a new dress, let's go get new clothes, let's go on vacation, let's go here, let's go. There's nothing. Orphans are like, I don't know when my next meal's coming. Right? Orphans have no one to comfort them. They have no one to comfort them. They don't have a mom and a dad. Can I get amen? An orphan, they're in pain. You know where they go? They go hide in a corner. Literally or metaphorically. Because they've got no one to help them process what's going on in their heart. They just sit in their pain. They sit in their abandonment. They just sit in it. They stew in it all day long for days and weeks and months and years. Orphans have no idea of someone teaching them how to do anything. They got to figure it all out on their own. They have no sense of safety. No one's protecting them. When Madeline was, my little one doesn't do it now. I open the truck door, she shoots out of the truck like a rocket. I'm like, God, I want to learn how to lasso like a cowboy and just get her, you know what I mean? But like, man, when Madeline, our oldest, was little, all the way up till she was like 6 or 7 years old, she'd get out of the truck, and if we were anywhere, she'd her feet hit the ground and she'd immediately reach for my hand. Because she knows if I got daddy's hand, I'm safe. Right? And the Lord showed me this picture. He goes, son, that's what I want. I want you to be childlike. I don't need you to tell me how strong you are and how awesome you are and how all together you think you got it, because you don't. Oh, Pastor, yes, I do. Oh, okay. We'll pray for you because you're about to hit the wall. God does not expect you to fix everybody's problems. He does not expect you to keep it all together. Oh, I'm just not going to cry. Well, good luck with that. You're going to need therapy at some point. God designed your tear ducts. All the tears is like, man, this is too much. Ah! Psalm 56, God catches all your tears in a bottle. God's seen every tear I've ever shed. And he says, you know what? I'm going to redeem it all. Can I get amen? God doesn't want us to be little brats. Can I get amen, church? Sometimes my little one, I'm like, she's crying. I'm like, suck it up, dude. I told you to stop doing that 6 times. That's my little one. She did the hot burner on the stove a couple weeks ago. Yeah. I heard her from the other room. Wah! Screaming. I come around the corner. I said, what happened, miss? She's like, told her not to touch that. So she waited till Missy turned around. And pow. But even when we do something colossally stupid, God's like, all right, come on, man. Come here. Come on. Can I get amen, church? Now, if we think about physical orphans, right, and how they operate, this is what God is getting at. He says, the church is operating the same way. Most Christians that have been in a decent church for a while, you're talking about, are you a child? You're a child of God. Oh, yeah, Pastor, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Until one thing happens that they don't want to happen. And then you watch the reaction, will tell you if they really believe that in their heart. Can I get amen? It's when something hits us sideways that will reveal what's really going on in here. Do I trust God or not? Right, so you guys haven't heard me say this in a while. A friend of mine loves, she goes, Pastor, this is my favorite thing you say. You want to know what's in something? Squeeze it. Take anything. I don't care what you get. You want to know, I wonder what's in this. Just give it a squeeze. You'll find out. Sometimes it'll be nice. Sometimes it won't be so nice. You're like, wow, I shouldn't have squeezed that. That's kind of gross. Right? Whatever's in something, squeeze it, and it'll come out. Is this all right? Church, we need to understand. And when I say understand, I'm talking revelation, transformation. Romans 8, chapter 2, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the what? Renewing of your, not your heart. Up here, because you know we do. We live life, and we do things a certain way, and we build strongholds. Strongholds exist where? Right here. Strongholds aren't out there. That's principalities and powers. There's some prophets, by the way, that I just heard something new this morning. A prophet had a dream that there are angels with battering rams in Washington, D.C., taking down Baal. Amen. Praise God. We like that. How do you think? How many people think that would work better than the next election? For sure. Amen. Should we vote? Probably. Yeah, but we need some angels to help. Yeah. But think about this, my beloved. Almost done. When we start thinking, right, that I need to do this. Man, every time I feel pushed, you need to do this right now. I go, boy, that just doesn't feel right to me. You know the story of Lazarus and Jesus? We know the story, right? Lazarus is sick. They send him word. Hey, Lazarus, whom you love, is sick. He waits 2 days or 4 days or whatever it is. I saw something just recently, and they said, you know, that Jesus, the town that Jesus was in when Lazarus was sick, was only like 6 hours away on a donkey. He wasn't days away, church. It'd been like, I don't know, we don't ride donkeys anymore, praise God. But it'd be like a 20-minute drive in your car. So it wasn't like Jesus was like, man, it's going to be tight to get there. He's like, I could be there by this afternoon. But it was a conscious decision to wait. He waited because he says, I am going to show you that I'm not limited by what you think I'm limited by. Is that all right? It's really good. I want to challenge you this week, church. Examine your heart. Say, man, do I operate in an orphan spirit in any area? Right? Do I? And just be honest, right? Because the only way to get freed from it is to be honest about it. Amen? Number two. The law we know to be good according to Scripture. However, I see Paul pretty clearly here in Galatians 4 telling us that we can't live under law and have a revelation of adoption. What did Jesus redeem us from, church? The law. Now, is the law bad? No, the Bible says clearly says that the law is good, but it's the law is what makes us, reveals our sin to us. Can I get amen? Right? Galatians 5 tells us the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I think I got all nine in there. And he says, and against these things there is no law. Why? Because if we're living in the Spirit, if we're living by the fruit of the Holy Spirit, what we're doing is we're flying like 50,000 feet above the law. It doesn't matter. I don't even think about the law because by the power of the Holy Ghost, I'm living so far above the requirements of the law. It's like my Bible teacher in college told me, he says, I think of the law like a safety net. If I'm having a really bad day, I know that I can't murder him. Don't look at me like that, bro. Right? If my spouse makes me really angry, I know the law says thou shalt not commit adultery. Right? The law is like a safety net if we're having a really bad day. But by the Spirit, we should be, you know what the Bible, Romans chapter 8, it's like verse 4. Those who are led by the Spirit of God will fulfill the laws of God. Dude. You know, we talk about in the Holy Ghost in most churches. People start shaking. I'm not against shaking. I've done it, right? Cry, dance, jump, run, whatever. One person says the Holy Ghost is not just going to make you jump and dance and shout. He's going to make you repent and humble yourself and reconcile with people. We like all the exciting stuff. And when he's like, go tell that person you're sorry. Oh, I bind the devil. Dude, we can live in a state of religious piety, which is all about performance, perfectionism, failure, guilt, shame, rinse and repeat. Or, my beloved, we can live in the blessing of adoption, which we come under the loving arms of God, of the God of all creation, who works all things together for good, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. By the way, what is the purpose of God? To be conformed to the image of his son. Well, Pastor, I feel like I got a call to preach the gospel. Okay, cool. Start getting conformed in the image of his son. Well, I'm called to be a prophet. Great. Get conformed to the image of his son. Amen. Number three. Verse 6 here, Galatians 4, 6, is reiterating the first point. But Jesus, by the payment of his own blood, forever signed the adoption papers of anyone who comes to God by faith. Yet, my beloved, we can be legally adopted and still live in the mindset of a slave. What Jesus did, right? That we might receive the adoption as sons. Jesus satisfied the debt, Revelation 5, and made the legal transaction. It's done. Can I get amen? The person whose job it is for us to understand that experientially, to grasp it, to have it start changing how we think, changing how we react to things, changing how we live, changing our values, changing how we treat people is the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Yeah? Last one, verse 7. Tells us a couple things, and I'm going to read another point. First, look at this church. Can you give us verse 7 up there? Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son. Point number one out of verse 7 is this. Look at what Paul's telling us here, church. He's contrasting slavery and sonship. You cannot be a slave and a son. Can't do it. Want to know why? Here's what slavery mindset or servant mindset. Should we serve God? Yeah, but we should serve God as sons and daughters, not as slaves. Can I get amen? Because a slavery mindset is still based on performance, perfectionism, right? That's a slave, right? Oh my gosh, there's this constant state of, did I do good enough for the master? I ain't going to look at nobody because I've heard that from so many of y'all. Oh, Pastor, I just don't feel like I'm doing enough for God. Dude, slavery mindset. That's a slavery mindset. Did I do enough so the master's happy with me? Did I mow the grass right? Did I get the crops done right? Did I get the house cleaned up? Should we serve God? Yes, but we should serve God out of sonship, out of adoption, out of a place of confidence. I know who I am. I know who God is. He has purchased me. I'm his own. I belong to him. What I do or don't do has zero bearing on how God feels about me. Amen. Zero. Absolutely none. Great Maverick City Music song. I've never been more loved than I am right now. I wasn't holding you up, so there's no way I can let you down. Man, called Gyra, that's that song. They've caught some serious, you know that the church, my beloved, has gone after them for that song because of that line. You know what they're living in? Spirit of slavery. Romans, Paul says this in Romans, you've not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but a spirit of adoption. Dude. I was talking to someone recently about the prodigal son story. We all know that story. Hopefully, younger son, older son. Younger son shows up one day and he's like, yo, pops, give me my dough. I'm out. That's the translation of the Bible I'm currently writing. All right. Full stop. Is that what they say to kids nowadays? Full stop. I heard that. I was like, come on. Full stop. But we know the younger son takes the dad's money. He goes and wastes it all, right? And the older son is out there working in the fields the whole time, right? I was thinking about this just the other day. I think I did a video on it. Maybe you saw this. But think about this, church. The Lord hit me with this. He says, you know what? Think about this. The older son never does anything wrong. That's what he says. When the father finally goes to find him, he comes into the field. He says, what is all this noise? What's going on? And he says, oh, your brother's home. He's back. Praise God. And he's like, oh, that's it. And he goes and sits in the corner and he's pouting. He's having a temper tantrum. And the father comes out. He says, man, what's going on with you? Your brother's home. You know, he was lost and he's found. And he's dead and he's alive. Oh, my gosh. And he goes, that son of yours, not my brother. What are we missing in church? Revelation, transformation. Oh, and relationship. That son of yours, he says. Why didn't you have a party for me? That's his big temper tantrum. What's he say, church? Everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours. The Lord said to me this. He says, the younger brother had a better understanding of the love of the Father. than the older brother did. He just abused it. The younger son abused it. He abused his father's love. But when he realizes what he's done, what's he do? I'm running back to the father. The older son is performance, 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 performance. He's working so hard to do everything right, he never understands everything's already his. Wow. Is this all right? Listen to this. Paul's contrasting slavery and sonship, right? Opposites. Similarly, he says elsewhere that Jesus has translated us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his son in Colossians chapter 1. Two separate things, right? There's darkness, there's the kingdom of his son. I was thinking about this. Just think about this. How many people got a bank account? Come on, church. It ain't that late. Wake up. How many of y'all got a bank account? How many have ever transferred money? Do you have multiple accounts in your bank account, like a savings and a check-in or whatever? You ever transfer money between accounts? So if you transferred $100 or $1 million, I'll give you my bank account number. You can transfer it in my direction. Just saying, if you got $1 million kicking around, we'll take it. But right, if you transfer money out of account A into account B, and then you go look in account A again, don't get angry because that $100 ain't there. Because you transferred it out of this place of reality into this place of reality. And Paul's saying to us, look, my beloved, Jesus has transferred you out of one account into another account. We shouldn't keep looking in the old account to see if there's anything left in there. Because he says, I've transferred you out of that account, the domain of darkness, into the kingdom of my beloved son. Amen. Amen. Think about this. Our brains, church, cannot operate in two realities at once. Can't do it. Years ago, look, I see, Mo, I see your face from back there. Girl, don't mess with me, all right? I did something years ago. I did this study. Everybody do this. I'm almost done. We'll be done soon. But do this. Hold your thumb out like this. Everybody do this. Come on, we do it. Hold your thumb out. Now focus on your thumb. Right? Can you see what's behind your thumb? Like past your thumb. Can you see it? Yeah, you can, but it's blurry, right? Now look past your thumb and focus on what's past your thumb. Can you see your thumb? Yeah, but you see like two of them, right? Or it's blurry or something else. Why? Because your eyes can only focus on one thing at a time. What runs your eyes? Your brain. Because your brain can only operate in one reality at a time. Yeah. Is that true? Yes. Here's the deal. If we are not diligent to transform our minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, if we decide, oh, I don't feel like reading my Bible today. Anybody feel like not reading your Bible today other than me? Come on, church, be real. We're getting real with Jesus now. Come on, church. Oh, pastor, I read my Bible. You know when people tell me, well, pastor, I probably haven't read my Bible in a week. I'm like, a week, bro? Come on. Plus how many more weeks? Come on, man. Be real, all right? We all fall into it, church, right? I'm doing good. I'm going to read my Bible today. I'm having a good day. Praise God. You need to read your Bible if you're having a good day, because you're going to have a bad day tomorrow, right? That's what Jesus pretty much tells us. Tomorrow's got its own problems. Can I get amen, right? We all, church, you know what? Our flesh kicks up. I don't feel like reading my Bible. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like whatever, all right? It happens, man. Let's just be honest about it. Can I get amen? The disciples didn't really want to pray. Can't you guys pray for me 1 hour? Just 1 hour. Yeah? When we surrender to this staff, our flesh will win. If we're not diligent to feed our spirit man, our flesh will win. That's the truth. Yeah? Well, pastor, I'm having a terrible month. Okay, then repent and get back on the horse. You still breathing? I think everyone here is breathing. Maybe he's not. I don't know. But everybody else, I think, is awake and breathing, right? If you're still breathing, you can still get right with God. Yeah? Almost done. Let's stand up. Stand up. Give you some hope. I only got 3 more pages of notes. Okay. Praise God. I'm kidding. I'm done right here. So we're gonna dig into this next week more. Is this helping anybody? Is this good? Listen to this, church. Jesus fully, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying this morning. Jesus fully completed the work of redemption. It is finished. Done. Paid in full. Nothing you can do about it. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. You can't mess it up. It's a finished work. Done. Last thing he says on the cross, what? Finished. Finished. Done. He finished the legal work for our salvation, but also for our adoption. But it is the Holy Spirit's job to make us aware. Everybody say aware. Aware of this adoption. So this week, my beloved, as you, I want to encourage, please, y'all have my notes in your email. Go through the notes. Read the passages of Scripture. And just ask God, am I still living as an orphan? Am I still living as a slave? Do I have times that I feel like, oh my gosh, I should be doing more for God? Okay, fine. Maybe we should, but I tell you what, if it's really the Father drawing us deeper, it's not going to feel guilty and shameful. You're going to feel inspired. You're going to feel like, wow, man, I can do this. I feel, right? God does not motivate us with guilt and shame. Is that true? God calls us, come closer, come higher, come. And as we pray this week, and I take some time and just ask the Father, am I still living as an orphan? Am I still living like that older brother? I did a paper on that, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, son, you're like him. You're living in the fields trying to work your way into the house. He says, you don't understand. I want you living in the house, going and working in the fields. We don't have to earn anything from God, church. Nothing. We have to receive from God. We have to receive from Abba. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask that you'd help us understand this. Not just understand it like in our brain, but in our spirit, man. I'm adopted. You chose me. You didn't just choose me to do something for you. You chose me to be someone for you. You chose me to be a son. You chose me to be a daughter. You chose me to be an object of your affection, an object of your blessings. You chose me to be a recipient of who you are and your plans on the earth. God, you chose us. You chose us, Father. And so, God, I pray this afternoon, God, late this morning, as we're wrapping this up, Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray this week that any area that we're still struggling in this with fear that's still gripping our hearts, God, help us to see that fear is rooted in slavery and orphans. It's an orphan mindset. Anytime my children are afraid of something, they run to me. Because as soon as they find daddy, it's okay. Doesn't matter what it is. As soon as they find daddy, it's okay. Lord, I pray that you'd help us understand that's what you want from us. I don't care if we're 150 years old, God. You want us running to you. It's because as soon as we find you, it's okay. It doesn't matter what's going on. When we know we're with you, when we know that you will not leave us or forsake us, you won't leave us as orphans, God. You don't expect us to take care of all these problems on our own. You expect us to run to you. To run to you. It's in our weakness that your strength is made perfect, God. So Lord, help us this week, I pray, to realize that we need the Holy Spirit all day, every day, everything we're doing. In Jesus' mighty name. Everyone said amen. 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 Guys, have an awesome weekend, a little extra long weekend, 4th of July tomorrow. Enjoy your families. Enjoy some, don't eat too much. All right. But enjoy. Facebook and YouTube, blessings on you guys. Thank you for being with us online there. And guys, Wednesday we'll be here for prayer. We're going to be a little bit more disciplined at prayer this week, focused. And but please come on out for prayer. We'll be on Zoom as well if you can't make it in the building here. But guys, have an awesome time. We'll see you next week. In Jesus' name, amen.